Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Just real quick before I start preaching, I know that my time is limited this morning, but over the things that are happening in the Middle East and even with our country being involved in that, I know there's a lot of things that speak that will, you know, talk about prophecy and different things that are taking place. Can I tell you this morning, there's nothing needs to take place for the rapture to happen. The Word of God says the rapture can happen at any moment. We read that in 2 Thessalonians and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so, but the thing is this, is in Luke, it tells us that when we see these things coming to pass, we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. So instead of being worried or scared or anything like that, just keep in mind that if it all just goes south on us, we're going to see Jesus, amen? And we're going to have that time with him for eternity. So I just want to give you some peace, and I thought I might speak on it this morning, but I have time to get anything ready. But I just, you know, there's a lot of things in Bible prophecy that people twist around, because literally, if you look into the book of Revelations at chapter 4, the church is not even here anymore. And all those vials and all those plagues, we're out of here. And so you're not living through the tribulation right now. I'm not living through the tribulation. We might have a difficult time last week, but it's not the tribulation. All right? So just keep in mind, Jesus has got us covered. And we'll see everything take place in the tribulation from up there. And so keep that in mind. Keep peace. I would encourage you to probably go buy your gas while it's cheap. It's probably fixed to get very high. But other than that, but keep an understanding, we don't serve a God that gives us fear. Amen? Just keep your peace with him. Amen. Well, get out your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We'll be speaking there and covering some topics this morning in that chapter. It says Luke chapter 8. Verses 1 through 3, now it came to pass afterward, he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's stewards, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, we thank you for your presence, God, through worship and through all that we've done this morning in this place. And we pray, God, at this time of the preaching of the word, Lord, that you would just open our hearts to receive it. And Lord, may it minister into our lives today, we pray, in Jesus' name. You know, there are a lot of public ministries that are very private. We get to see or know them on while they're on the platform, or perhaps in the media where we see them preaching, or where it may be, or maybe even the occasional social media, the post that they might make. And sometimes we feel like we know them. I mean, you know, we know of them, not know them. And so a lot of this are actually private people. You don't get to know who they are. Very seldom do we have a picture of behind the scene of their lives and what goes on in their everyday normal life, because even though they're public, they're very private. Even many pastors nowadays, you don't even get to talk to them. And so that's the way ministry is, it seems to be today. But the Lord was never that way. Jesus was never that way. We are able to know him through his word. We read his Bible, it's like reading a diary of him and his character, who he is. All the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation has something to reveal about Christ. And so we get to know who he is. It's not like he says, I'm Jesus, but I don't want you to know me. I mean, you know, Jesus wants you to know him. Amen. You know, the whole relationship, salvation thing, it's not just about being saved. It's about having a relationship with him. It's all right to talk to him during the day and build that relationship. We also get to hear some of his one-on-one conversations that he had with people. And we get to see some of those things where he spoke and how he gave them counsel. We even get to hear where he spoke to groups of people and you hear his heart. We're studying, started this Sunday, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which is three chapters, and it speaks of the Beatitudes and different things like that. But it's Christ, it's his sermon. So you get to know what's really motivating him. And I thank God that we get to do that. We get to learn about his ministry team. Jesus says, he doesn't just say, this is my staff. You get to know that staff in a way that most staff is not known. We all know what Peter, he was a little lively guy, right? We know these things about them. And Jesus' ministry and life was not hidden. One of my favorite books when I was studying to get credentials was The Life of Christ. And it amazes you what you can learn about Jesus if you just pull it all together and what you see of who he is and how he moves and what motivates him. In this passage this morning, we have such an occasion of learning about Christ and those that ministered with and to him. We get an inlet to one of those occasions. And what we find out, Jesus placed a high value on preaching. When we look at this passage of scripture, we find that Jesus put a high value on preaching. Preaching was the heart, at the heart of his ministry. And why do you say that today, Pastor? Because I believe that the church needs to get back to some good preaching. Preaching is what was at the heart of Jesus' ministry, and if he is at the heart of his ministry, why should it not be at the heart of the church's ministry? Preaching the Word of God, not preaching opinions, not preaching stories about football players or whatever. I get the illustration, but I was taught when I was learning how to preach in credentials, your illustration should never be your sermon. Amen. It should enlighten the scripture, and that's all it should do. And so we find here in this passage of scripture, because the word said, now it come to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the good glad tidings, or the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. He went through every village. It's what he was anointed to do, or one of the things that he was anointed to do was to preach the Word of God. Can I tell you, there is an anointing to preach. There's an anointing to share the Word of God. Whether you're a preacher on the platform or where you're fixing a witness to somebody on the street, there's an anointing that will come upon you to do it if you'll just trust God. Come on now, I learned a long time ago that I want to do it on my own power. I want the anointing of God to come down upon me and help me. Amen. And you, my first experience with that was at a VBS among a bunch of kids. God, anoint me. I'm going to tell you, you want that anointing to come down. If you pray for it, God will give it. If you step out, that anointing will come. Jesus was anointed that. You know, when he went to his hometown, Nazareth. I've seen it on the side of the hill when I was in Israel. I've seen where his hometown was. It's kind of on the side of the hill right there. He went and he was in the synagogue, and the Bible says he opened up into Isaiah. And he read out of Isaiah. We call it 61. It wasn't 61 back then. And he read this: the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord, listen to what he says, anointed me to preach. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. John 6:38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus very clearly said, I have been sent not only to die upon the cross, but I have been sent to preach the word. He was anointed to preach the Word of God. Can I tell you, you're not a preacher just because your daddy was a preacher. You're a preacher because God has called you to preach, and the anointing comes upon the calling. We had that this morning as the message was there. God, if God's called you to something, he's going to anoint you to do that thing. All of us, that's for every one of us in the room. When God calls you to something, he will anoint you to do it. And this is what Jesus was saying. Preaching was what the Father sent him to do. And therefore, he preached. I remember a long time ago, I heard the story of Rod Parsley. Long time ago, I used to listen to him preach all the time. And he came in, and his secretary was crying, and you're sitting there in front of the, back then, the typewriter. So you know how long ago that was. And she was just crying, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "I feel the anointing." He says, "Well, type, girl, type." Because that's what the anointing is for, is to do what God has called us to do. It gets you past your fear, and it brings a boldness in you to be able to do what God has called you to do. So that anointing is a powerful thing, and he didn't bypass it. He says, "I was anointed." You wouldn't think the Son of God would be anointed, but God anointed him to do what he sent him to do. The church would turn, you know, the thing is this, listen, all should take note of the Lord's example to be doing what God has sent us to do and what he has anointed us to do, because the church, I believe the church would turn this world upside down if we all got busy doing what God has sent us to do. Amen? And because the anointing's there. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God were his go-to message. He was anointed to preach, and the glad tidings was his go-to message. John preached, "Repent, repent, repent, and be baptized." Jesus preached, "The glad tidings are coming to you, for the kingdom of God is nigh." That was his go-to message. When I was living in Boise City, or I actually lived in Campo, I went over to a Pentecostal holiness church one night, or one day, I can't even remember why I was there, but I went over there for revival or something, I can't remember, but I walked through the doors, and Brother Frank Lynch looked at me, and he says, "You're preaching tonight." I was wondering who he was talking to, because he didn't tell me I was preaching, so guess what? I preached that night. And I didn't have a message, I didn't have something prepared, but I'm saying that go-to message, every preacher should have a go-to message. Amen? One of those, I believe every Pentecostal preacher should be able to turn to John 3:16 and preach for 45 minutes with no notes. I believe that. I believe it's in your heart, it's going to come out. I believe every Pentecostal preacher ought to be able to preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe if someone said, "Well, preach about the baptism," I believe we should preach about it, amen? And we can go to Acts 2, we could go Acts 10, we go Acts 19, and we can go to Ephesus, and we could go all over the place with that message and spend some time. But there are to be a go-to. So every preacher should have one, and Jesus had glad tidings. I believe that everyone that shares the message and every believer should have a go-to, a way to lead somebody to Jesus. I believe we should, maybe you should practice it a little bit. Maybe try to lead your spouse to the Lord, even if they're saved. Just work on it a little bit. Have a go-to, amen? So you're not uncomfortable, you're ready to talk about it a little bit. All of us should be, because the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." Always be ready. Jesus' go-to was proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God was about to come, or that his reign in the gospel was about to be set up for over men. That all would hear and obey would be part of that kingdom. We have the good news to preach. And we call it good news because it's the only message that's true from God above. It's the good news that I can be saved from my sin. I can be changed and be born again. Hallelujah. The good news that comes through Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord. In the coming of his kingdom. Can I tell you, that'd be a great message right now with everything going on in the world. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming too soon. We are to preach that to all that will hear and obey, and they can be part of his kingdom. There's an old song. It says, "I love to tell the story of an unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do." And that's an old song, but folks, do we love to tell the story this morning about Jesus? Sharing our faith with somebody. He didn't just preach in one location we find in this passage of Scripture. He preached in the cities and he preached in the villages. It's about people hearing. It was not about how important he was. He wouldn't say, well, that's too small for me to go over there and have this sermon with those folks. It was about serving God and not himself. I remember way back when I preached at Campo, when I pastored that little church there, I called Brother Ed Reimer, and Brother Ed had actually did the book of Revelation in one of the general council meetings, and he'd done this before big crowds. I says, listen, my friend, brother, would you come and do a revival for me in Campo? And he says, where's Campo at? And I said, well, it's a little bitty town in Colorado, population 100. And he said, yes, sir, I'll come. I said, well, we can't give you much. He says, you know what? I told the Lord a long time ago when I came into the ministry, I'll go to the small church, I'll go to the big church, I'll go to wherever you call me to go. And I said, I appreciate that, brother. And so he came and we had a great time. I enjoyed him. I wish he still was still doing that. I'd have him come and do revelations for us, but he's out of that now. He's pushing 90, but I think he's still preaching. But I'm just telling you today, David Raley is going to be coming here on Sunday night on the 15th, and David Raley preaches to big crowds. I told him, I said, hey, we don't have much of a crowd on Sunday night. You know what he told me? He said, I'll come anyhow. I appreciate, you know what I hear in those guys? They have the mindset of Jesus. It's not about the crowd. It's not about the size or the community. It's about sharing Jesus Christ. And Jesus showed that to us in this passage of Scripture. He went to the city and he went to the village. And it's time that we realize that, church, is that everybody deserves the message. He passed down the value. And another thing he spoke of is he didn't just preach to one group of people. He preached to anybody that would come. He preached to the poor and the meek or the humble. And no matter the social status or the color of the skin, the nationalities did not matter. He preached to the whosoevers that were coming and were hungry for the word of God. I thank God for the witness of our Lord. Amen. It's time we realize that, church, is that it's very important that we cross all the boundaries and start preaching the Bible. He passed down the value of preaching to the 12 that would carry the same torch of the gospel. He passed down the value of preaching. They were with him and they heard his messages. Now, I don't know, I would suspect if I said, because this is kind of a preacher thing, I think. You listen to the guy and you think, man, I thought I could preach, but I can't preach now. Could you imagine sitting under Jesus preaching and then he says, now you go preach. But those disciples were trained by him to preach. What was he doing? He was passing the method down. He was passing the importance, the heart of his ministry. He was saying preaching is very important. He says, well, I'm going to send you out to win the world, but I'm going to teach you to preach, because in preaching, men's lives are changed. He said, preaching is very important. And every one of them became preachers. We hear more about Peter and John probably. Peter's first sermon brought in 3,000 souls. That's a pretty good message. John preached until they finally put him on the island of Patmos to try to shut him up. But he found himself on the Lord's day still praising and worshiping God and wrote the book of Revelation. Come on, something got in them. The master discipled them and said, preaching is so important. John was probably preaching to himself on that day. Preaching, Jesus said, was very important. The Bible tells us that we should have preaching in the church. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. The message preached to save those who believe. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. God puts a high emphasis on preaching. But yet, in a lot of churches today, we have a 10-minute sermon and a 2-hour worship service. I'm going to tell you today, that's not what Scripture spoke of. God puts an emphasis. Paul preached so long. Listen to this. Y'all think I'm a long-winded preacher. I heard your conversations. You say, he's got hot air. Okay, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, I've never preached all night like Paul did, and a man fell out of the balcony, and then Paul had to call on God to raise him up from the dead. Now, I thought there's been a few times I was going to have to call on God to raise some of you up from the dead. But I'm saying today, preaching was a valuable tool, a valuable thing. And the Son of God says, I'm anointed to preach the word. Preaches it. It's a wonderful thing. The next thing that we find is part of his ministry was to heal. To heal. Not only to preach, but also anointed to heal. His support team had experienced the touch of the master's hand. Those that were on his team had experienced the touch of the master's hand. Luke 8:2-3, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Listen to this. They had been healed inside and out. Literally, what we read in Scripture, they had been healed inside and out. He didn't only preach, but he was anointed to heal. And the Word of God, the Scripture says, and the Word of God and it healed, came and it healed them. Can I tell you, the Word of God is powerful. They had been healed from evil spirits, oppressed. When you talk about demons, let me tell you something about demons. They can possess a non-Christian. They can oppress a Christian. They can bother you. They can mess your day up. That's why you need to learn a little bit of Scripture. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, and he shall flee. Because why? Demons can oppress you. But if you're saved, you got the light living in you, darkness can't live in you. But I'm going to tell you, he healed these ladies because they weren't saved, and many of them had demons, and they cast them out, and he also healed them of their infirmities. Mary Magdalene, which she's got a bad rap. Everybody says she's a prostitute, but you can't find that in the Bible. That was some preacher that labeled her with that. But the Bible says she was possessed by 7 demons, and they were cast out. What is that? That's healing. God worked on the inside. Joanna, wife of Chesus, she had a high social status, but she also was healed by Jesus. And Susanna was healed by Jesus. And then it said many others were healed by Jesus. Who is this group of people? This is the Lord's team. This is not only to minister to him, but they are in ministry also. Now hang with me just for a few minutes because I really got to go fast. My thought here is when I read this passage of Scripture, it's not just for women, but for all people that will trust Christ. I know it lists nothing but women in this passage, but the truth is God heals men the same way. God heals men from the inside, and he also heals them on the outside. God is able to touch all of us. And he is the great physician. Do you know he's able to scan you before CAT scan, and all that came out. Amen? Why? Because he's God. I just imagine, okay, oh, Billy, you got a lot of problems. But that's God. You know, oftentimes we just leave him right there on his throne, but he's got some amazing talents. Amen? And so he healed them. One scanner came before Mary Magdalene. 7 demons in this one. Let's cast them out. This one, infirmities. This one, oppressed. This one possessed. God did a work, and it's not just for the women of the world, but it was also for all of mankind. God has a business of wanting us to be healed. Amen? Wanting us to be healed. Matthew Henry wrote it like this. They had been healed by him of evil spirits and infirmity. Some of them had been troubled in mind and been downhearted. Others of them afflicted in body. He had been to them a powerful healer. He is the physician both of the body and the soul, and those who have been healed by him ought to study what they shall render to him. That was Matthew Henry. Ought to study what they should render to him. Christ healed them completely. Can I tell you, there are those that are carrying hurts from relationships today. There are those that are carrying hurts or abuse in their lives. There were some that were forsaking in their childhood and having to learn to survive in that childhood, but don't realize now that Jesus heals them of that. There are deep down wounds that we carry in our lives that we need a healer from. And sometimes we walk through this and we don't realize that Jesus is there. He wants to heal us completely. He wants to set us free from the hurt. Some of us think we can't serve God because of the way we acted in our past. But can I tell you this morning, that's a lie from the devil. God wants to heal us from the inside. Oh, he wants to touch us and take that which was broken inside of us, however it got broken. Come on, I'm going to tell you something. Some people in the church are still functioning as broken people because of the hurt they had when they were young or whatever it may be. But Jesus looked at this group of ladies, and he would look at a group of men the same way, and he healed every one of them before they came into ministry. Now hang with me. See, some of us here in this room today have been hurt by words spoken to us or even behind our backs. And those words are still looping around in our head. I don't know why God didn't give us a switch that we could turn that brain off and get us 8 hours of sleep, then we could turn it back on. I'm sure all of us have laid there in our bed, can't go to sleep because our mind's going. I'm going to tell you today, there's an answer, and his name is Jesus. There's an answer, and we leave it to him. Just the other day, I had to put to rest some things that had been looping in my mind, and I thank God for the victory. Amen? And sometimes we get things in our head, and we just need to go to the cross of Jesus, to the feet of the cross, and lay those down and say, God, you got the victory. Hallelujah. And go on with life. I'm going to tell you, God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. God is good. I'm just saying today, God wants us to be completely healed. Here we have a variety of people that Christ healed in different ways, and he wants to set us free today also. Deuteronomy, I love this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and the Lord spoke to them saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn north. What does that mean? You've circled it long enough. I'm going to tell you today, there's some of you in this crowd that have circled it long enough. You've had it in your life forever, and you're still circling it and circling it and circling. And we need to hear what Christ spoke to Israel that says, you've skirted the mountain long enough. It's time to turn north. What was he saying? It's time to get out of this cycle. It's time to move forward. It's time to go forth in the work of God. It's time to be set free of whatever causes you to circle around. I'm telling you today, God wants you to be free. God died upon the cross of Calvary that you may be set free. God doesn't want us walking around with hurt and unhealed issues inside. He wants us to be healed completely. You say, well, Pastor, I know people that have not been healed physically. I get that. I understand that. I wish God healed all of us physically, but there's coming a day when the trumpet sounds or we breathe our last breath. There'll never be a physical pain in our life because he paid the price upon the cross of Calvary. Come on, amen? There's coming that day. Don't you dare judge somebody and say they don't have good faith if they're not healed. I thank God for doctors. Amen. God gives doctors some great wisdom. Amen. I just wish he'd give them a little cheaper price. But praise God for them. You know, some people go to the doctor and they do all they can to make that person well, and all they do is say, well, Jesus done it. I'm going to tell you, you need to acknowledge the doctor was in the house. But the wisdom came from Jesus. I get it. I'm saying today that the great physician, he wants to heal you inside and out. The price is paid for it. He wants to mend you up and make you better. Quit circling. We've circled that long enough. These have been healed of Christ and are ready for ministry. They're ready for ministry. Can I tell you, there's an old saying that says, healthy churches plant healthy churches. In other words, they're talking about they have everything they need to go plant another church. I'm going to tell you this, and you may not agree with me, but healthy people spiritually grow healthy people. Amen? If you're not where you need to be inside, you need to let God heal you. Because you can make a mess of ministry when you're not where you need to be. I heard one pastor had this text to a group of us. He says, pastors, it's time you quit preaching out of your hurt. And a lot of times, what does that mean? You stay in the church long enough, you get hurt. And you start preaching out of that. In other words, we need to let it go and let God do a work. Let God do a work inside of us. Because it's hard to minister when we're not where we need to be. Support ministry. What a thought when we talk about ministry. Support ministry. Can I tell you this morning, all ministry in His kingdom is nothing more than support to His ministry. It's not about this church. It's not about my pastoring. It's not about your gift. Everything that we do is a support ministry unto Jesus Christ. This church belongs to Him. That's why I've always been really fearful to mess with the church. Everything is His. Your talent is His. Your gifting is His. Everything is support ministry unto the Lord. And their ministry was support ministry, but also they was in ministry to touch other people's lives. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything and all that we do, we give it back to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do is support ministry. Listen, they followed Christ, they learned from Christ, and they provide for Christ through what they have. And it talks about substance, their money, and food, and all they needed. They were there to support them. They were healthy for the work. Healthy for the work. Meg, if you'll come up just for a minute. Now, I rushed through that message. But my thought when I was going to do this is the importance of preaching the Word of God. Christ showed us the importance of that. But also we see the importance of God healing us on the inside in order for us to have the life that He wants us to have. You know, a Sunday or a Wednesday night ago, I believe it was, or two, I spoke of the fact that many times what's going on inside of us has an effect on us physically. And I share some statistics about how certain feelings can cause certain diseases. I don't know about you, and oftentimes when we think about support ministry, we think, okay, we're talking about a pastor. But can I tell you, every one of us have been called to do something for the kingdom of God. Whatever it may be. You may have a neighbor that needs Jesus. Your support ministry for Jesus to share. Our neighbor's moving out, the one that's been starting going to church, and I'm thinking, God, bring me a good neighbor. Bring me a good neighbor. But I'm telling you today is that whatever it is, God wants you to be healed on the inside. I don't know what hurt you may be carrying, but God wants to heal you. God wants to reach down and touch. All these that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture, not one of them was not healed. And the number one healing I believe in our life that we need is in our soul. Whether I'm carrying a hurt or an offense, or maybe I'm just carrying a hurt from way back there, I need to let it go. I need to let it go.